Welcome to the series. We will be learning the different Chelik Yud, the one different from Parshas Vayishlach on page 109 and onward. It is the Sikha on the Rashi, so we'll look at the Pasuk and the Rashi first, and then go into the Sikha. But before that, some background. Most of the parasha deals with the story of Yaakov's homecoming after being away 20 years in the house of Lavan. He's gone away from home because of the wrath of his brother Esav, who felt cheated out of the brachas which Yaakov Avinu got instead of him. So his parents tell him to leave, and Yaakov Avinu goes, and he spends 20 years with his uncle Lavan, tending Lavan's sheep for 7 years for each of his two wives, and for 6 years in order to build up his own herds. He finishes the 20 years, he comes home, it takes 18 months. On the way, he encounters Esav. Very dramatic encounter, because Esav is the head of a band of 400 men, and the parasha tells us how Yaakov dealt with that through prayer, through preparation for war with Esav, should Esav want to fight him, and through appeasing Esav with a lavish gift. That's most of the parasha. Esav then travels on. Yaakov Avinu goes home to his father, Yitzchak Avinu, living then in Hebron. What did Esav then do? The parasha tells us that after marrying several wives in Canaan, Esau picked up with his wives and his children and all his possessions, and he moved. And here we come to the Pasuk, the two Pasukim, which we are going to discuss with the Rashi. In Perek Lamed Bov, Pasuk Bov, the Torah tells us, "Vayikach Esav es noshav yes bonav yes benoisav yes kol nafshis beisoy." Esav took all the members of his household. Yes mikneu yes kol behem toy. His mikne, his animals, and all of the domestic animals, and all that. The possessions with kol kinyonoi, asher rochash be'eretz Canaan, all his possessions which he had acquired in the land of Canaan, vayelech el eretz, he went to another land, mipnei Yaakov ochiv, before his brother Yaakov, in the face of his brother Yaakov. And the Torah continues in the next pasuk. Why did he go? He hoyo rechusham rov, because there Yaakov and Esav's wealth was great, too great, mishev yachdov, to allow them to live together. Lo yochlo eretz migureim, and the land of their sojourning was could not handle lost Esav to bear them mitnei miknehem, because of their mikne, which will be defined in Rashi. So Rashi cites the word v'lo yochla eretz migureim, the land of their dwelling could not handle, and Rashi says, what could it not handle? Lahastik mira lebehemois shalohem. it couldn't provide grazing for their animals. That's one part of Rashi. As we'll see, the Rebbe will ask several questions on that Rashi, and then he'll carry on with the second part of Rashi and ask several more questions on that second part. Now for the second part. The Medrash tells that relates that Mipnei Yaakov Ochi, what is the meaning of the word that Esav left the land? Mipnei Yaakov Ochi in the face of his brother Yaakov. It means Mipnei Shtar Choiv, because of the bill of debt, the contract that said that whoever would get the land would get it through being for 400 years in a strange land subject to a foreign power and would be mistreated and oppressed by that foreign power before Hashem would take them out with great wealth. So that was the shtar choiv, the debt, the contract. So gezeiras of the decree ki geir yezaracho, your children, Hashem said to Avraham in this min habesorim, the covenant between the parts back in Parshas Lech Lecha, your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. And that debt, kamutal, lay upon, was incumbent upon, al darishal Yitzchak, the children of Yitzchak. Omar, so Esav says, eilichli mikan, I'm getting out of here. Eilich, eilich, I have no part. Neither in the land that was given to Avraham Avinu and his children, nor in paying up that debt by being in a foreign land and enslaved by a foreign power for 400 years. Another point, Esav left because of the disgrace, because he had sold his firstborn rights. Remember at the beginning of Pashtoldosh, we have the story of Esav selling to Yaakov his rights as the firstborn for a mess of pottage, a pot of lentils. So he sold his right as the firstborn. It's a big disgrace. So Esav picked up and left. That's the Rashi. Now, on the first part of Rashi, the Rebbe asked several questions. It would seem that Rashi is out to explain what does it mean that the land could not bear them. Lost Esav couldn't bear them mipnei mikneihem because of their cattle. You can't say the land couldn't carry them. So you must say that meaning that the land couldn't bear them, it could not provide enough grazing ground for their herds and their flocks. The meaning of lost Esav, the land could not bear them, is that it could not provide grazing ground. That's what Rashi seems to be out to explain as interpreted by the Meforshim, by the commentaries on Rashi, particularly Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi. And now to the four questions. First, if Rashi is out to explain the words, the land could not bear them, And those are the words which Rashi should cite from the Pasuk in his explanation. Instead, Rashi cites the words, "V'lo yochlo eretz migureyem," the land of their dwelling could not. That's it. Second of all, it doesn't seem to be adding much. What Rashi's explanation seems pretty obvious, that you cannot explain the pasuk to mean the land couldn't carry them. So clearly, it must mean that something about the land could not carry them, the grazing ground. Since Rashi already explained this idea earlier in Pasha Lech Lecha, in the discussion about Abraham Avinu and Lot, who also had a quarrel with their shepherds, their respective shepherds quarreled with each other, and the Pasuk explained that they had to part because the land could not handle both of them. And there Rashi already explained what we mean the land could not bear them. It couldn't provide enough pasture for them. So why does Rashi feel it necessary to repeat that explanation here? Third of all, Rashi explained that the land could not provide pasture for their animals, instead of the words of the pasuk, miknehem, their cattle, their herds. So why does Rashi find it necessary to deviate? Surely it's not because Rashi wants to explain the word miknehem that come up again and again before in Chumash. And Rashi hadn't found it necessary to explain the word. In fact, in the parallel Rashi earlier in Parshas Lech Lecha concerning the quarrel between Abraham Avinu and Lot's shepherds, Rashi over there says that the land could not provide enough pasture for miknehem. So Rashi feels that the word miknehem is clear enough and does not need to be explained. Why here must it be explained? And lastly, why is that pshat not enough? Why is it, what remains unclear about Lost his wisdom, or the land couldn't bear them? What is so unclear that it couldn't provide enough pasture that Rashi had to go looking for another interpretation, which he brings from Medrash Agod? Furthermore, back in Parshas Lech Lecha, in that parallel Rashi that was mentioned, Rashi leaves it at that. The land couldn't handle their means, says Rashi, it couldn't provide enough pasture at the end of Rashi. Now, on the second part of the Rashi, the Medrash Agoda had said that since inheriting the land came with a contract that whoever inherited it would have to be enslaved by a foreign power and would be in a land not his own for 400 years, so Esau didn't want any part of that. He didn't want to pay the price nor to inherit the land. And also, Rashi, because of the disgrace. So here too, that I've asked six questions. First of all, what does Rashi bring a Medrash Agbodah Rashi is out to explain the simple meaning of the pasuk. The simple meaning of the pasuk is explained by the pasuk itself. Why did Esav leave? Because of the great wealth of the two of them, the land could not provide for them. But why provide another pidush, which is a medrash? Seems to be the opposite of what the pasuk itself says was the reason that Esav left. Second of all, Rashi finishes his last words, and because of the disgrace. Rashi does not say that this is another alternative explanation, as in fact the Medrash says, where it is two different opinions of two different sages. One says because Esav didn't want to pay the price of the 400 years enslavement, and another opinion of Yeshua ben Levi said that it was because of the disgrace of his having sold his birthright. Rashi put the two together as though that part about the birthright were in some way an embellishment, an addition, an augmentation of the Pidush about paying the price of the contract. How is that so? It seems from Rashi, since Rashi puts first the interpretation that Esav left because he didn't want to pay the contract, and he adds because of the bush, because of the disgrace, it seems that Rashi is saying that the main cause was Esav not wanting to pay the contract. And also, another point is necessary about the disgrace. What is wrong with that interpretation about Esav not wanting to be subjected to the slavery for 400 years that Rashi finds it necessary to add? And is they are pushed because of the disgrace, yet nevertheless, the main point is that he doesn't want to pay the contract. Fourth question. Why does Esav wait until Yaakov returns from his 20 years stay away from home to leave Eretz Yisrael, if the reason he's leaving Eretz Yisrael is because he doesn't want to inherit it, since inheritance comes with a cost of 400 years of slavery? If that was the case, Esav should have gone much earlier, because he knew much earlier about this contract that Hashem made with Avraham Avinu, that his children, whoever would inherit the land, would pay with 400 years of servitude. So why would he wait till Yaakov comes back? Fifth, as an introduction to this interpretation of Rashi, the Medrash HaGadol, that he didn't want to pay the contract, Rashi cites three words from the pasuk, from the previous pasuk, Mipnei Yaakov Ochiv, that Esav went to another land in the face of Yaakov, his brother. So why is he jumping back to the previous pasuk? And why does he need to cite these three words? And finally, furthermore, on the contrary, these three words, Mipnei Yaakov Ochi, from the previous pasuk, they contradict what Rashi is saying here, that Esav left because he doesn't want to pay the contract, which was from Avraham Avinu. He's not leaving because of Yaakov. He's leaving because of Avraham Avinu's contract, which he doesn't want to pay. So those are the questions that Rebbe had on the pasuk. The gist of the Rebbe's answer is that the words Miknehu, where the pasuk says that Esav took Miknehu, is whatever Miknehu means, we'll see in a minute, it can have two interpretations. And then the Pasuk said after that that he took Miknehu, and afterward the Pasuk said, and then the following Pasuk, because their possessions, not just their cattle, their possessions were so many that the land couldn't handle them. So it might be understood that the word Miknehu, which can have two interpretations, it usually means their cattle, but it can also mean their acquisitions, his acquisitions, what he was coining there. So mikne normally means cattle, but it's related to the word kinyan, acquisition. What does it mean here? So you might be misled into understanding mikneu as his acquisitions, because the next pasuk talked about his rechush. His possessions were many. Their possessions, Yaakov and Esav, were many. Not specifically his herd. So maybe Mikneu means that which he had acquired. Therefore, Rashi says, no. What the Pasuk means is that it was the land could not provide. Not that the land couldn't contain them because of their many possessions. If that were the case, then it was a question of cattle, because the land has to provide the grazing for the cattle. But since we're talking about cattle, then the nickname of the previous pasuk taka means cattle and not generally acquisitions. If the land could not contain them because of the many possessions, which, by the way, would be strange, because earlier in this same parsha we are taught that the land is rachvas yodayim, it's broad, plenty of space for everybody, for many inhabitants. All of a sudden it can't contain them. So no. What does it mean that the land cannot bear them? It means that the land cannot provide. What does it need to provide? Grazing ground, pasture. So Mikneu actually means their cattle. He took the cattle which he had acquired, and that's what he moved with outside of Eretz Yisrael to some other land. That's why Rashi finds it necessary to comment, so that we don't misunderstand the issue here as being generally about possessions and Mikneu means acquisition. No, it's about the issue of grazing ground and the cattle which they had. But we're left with a question. We understand that someone's got to move. There isn't enough pasture to provide for the flocks, for the herds of both brothers' many flocks. But why Esav? Why did he move? Why didn't Yaakov move? Since when Yaakov Avinu returned to his birthplace, to Canaan, Esav was already settled there, with his families, his wives, and his children, and all his possessions. Why did he move out? That's why Rashi continues with his further interpretations, because the first part of Rashi only explains that someone had to move because there wasn't enough grazing ground. But it doesn't explain who and why it would be Esav. So Rashi now explains why it was in fact Esav. And not only do we need to understand why Esav moved, but we don't even find that Yaakov somehow persuaded Esav to move, or he pushed him out in any way. It seems to have been Esav's own initiative to move. Why would he want to move? Rodin explained, this Rashi brings the words v'layachla eretz migoreihem, and the land could not provide grazing ground. Ah, we're talking about grazing ground for cattle. Who do we know was the main one who had many, many herds? So we read about the herds of Yaakov Avinu at length in the Parsha, in the previous Parsha Vayetzei, and in the beginning of this Parsha Vayishlach, how Yaakov tells Esav, I've had so many herds of the sheep and cattle and oxen and etc., etc. And he gives lavish gifts to Esav from his cattle. So Yaakov was the main one who needs the grazing ground. So when there's a shortage of grazing ground, Yaakov stays with the grazing ground, the pasture of Eretz Canaan, and Esav moves on. He's the man of the field, he's the hunter. He's not so interested in the grazing ground as much as Yaakov is, so he moved on. Now, it would seem that Esav is being quite reasonable and generous even. But if there's a shortage of space, he lets Yaakov have it, and he moves out. That's not the picture of Esav that we have until now. Esav, even when he met Yaakov Avinu and he didn't attack him, so Rashi says that he actually wanted to kill Yaakov, but Hashem didn't let him do that. Or according to another interpretation of Rashi, that at that moment he was overcome with feelings of compassion or love for Yaakov. It was momentary. He didn't like Yaakov. So it's not reasonable that he would leave in favor of Yaakov. But there must have been more than the issue of grazing ground. That's why Rashi has to bring the Medrash HaGod there. Another point, the earlier Pasuk said that Yaakov, that Esav left and he went to another land, Mipnei Yaakov Ochiv, in the face of his brother Yaakov. What's the brother got to do with it? If there's two of them and one of them has a whole lot of needs a whole lot of grazing ground, and the land cannot provide for the two, and he's being reasonable and generous, what's it got to do with the fact that Yaakov is his brother? That's not the point here. Therefore, Rashi says, there's another interpretation in the Medrash HaGod which highlights the brotherhood, and that is that one of them is going to inherit the land because of Hashem's promise to Avraham Avinu that his children would inherit the land, the children of Yitzchok, who are Yaakov and Esav, so one of them is going to inherit the land. Which one would it be? The one who would pay the contract of 400 years of servitude. That's what Esav doesn't want. I don't want Esav to be the brother who is left paying that contract, and therefore he picks up and he leaves. Since one of them has to leave, so now Esav is the one who will leave because he doesn't want to pay that contract. And that's why she cites the word Mipnei Yaakov Ochiv, in the face of Yaakov, his brother, which comes from the earlier pasuk, before getting into the interpretation of the Medrash HaGod. By doing so, by quoting these words, Rashi is emphasizing that the following interpretation about Esav not wanting to pay the contract, and that he was ashamed, disgraced, because he had told the Bechoira, come on to explain only this detail. Why did Esav clear out in the face of his brother Yaakov? And Rashi cites also the word Achiv, his brother, in order to allude to the fact that there was a contract which had to be paid by one of the brothers. So the pasuk has to stress here that he's his brother, so that he would be the one who was called on to pay that contract if Yaakov would not. That explains why Rashi brings these two interpretations. Now let's go back to the question. If Esav is leaving because he doesn't want to inherit the land, an inheritance which would cost him 400 years of servitude, why does he leave the land now when Yaakov Avinu comes back? That reason held true much before. That the answer is, the pasuk says that the general reason why anybody left was because of the dearth of grazing ground. Somebody has to leave. Until then, it wasn't clear which one would inherit and which one would be the one to pay that contract of 400 years of servitude. Maybe both. So now, when it becomes clear that somebody has to leave, now Esav has to make a choice. Will he be the one to stay and therefore pay up that contract of 400 years of servitude, or will it be Yaakov? Because the land won't allow it to be both. And therefore, Esav said, I won't be the one because I don't like the price. But it seems that Esav is really losing face here. Yaakov arrives back, and then he clears out, Mipnei Yaakov Ochiv. He goes somewhere. He doesn't even say that he went to a specified place which he favored for some other reason. He went to Harasteir, but Pasuk doesn't tell us he went to Harasteir because that was the place that he chose. He went El Eret, to some other land. He just cleared out. Therefore, Rashi adds, not as another opinion, but as an addition to his first comment about the reason it was Esav cleared out, it was Mipnei Habusho. It was because of the disgrace. But Rashi doesn't mean it as two different alternative interpretations of why it was Esav. A, because he didn't want to pay the price. B, because of the disgrace. He just wants to explain that Esav cleared out because he had motivations. He was motivated to, and the two motivations are both true. The main one, because he didn't want to pay the price of inheriting the land. And nevertheless, he's not bothered by the fact that he's clearing out now before Yaakov, because in any case, he felt uncomfortable over having lost the birthright to Yaakov over a pot of lentils. He was generally uncomfortable in the land with Yaakov Avinu, to whom he had sold that birthright. So now, when Yaakov comes back, Esav leaves. But he wouldn't have left solely because of the disgrace of having sold the birthright. The main point was he's leaving because he doesn't want to pay the price of 400 years of servitude. Rebbe raises a final point, interesting point, which I don't see any commentary addressing. Surely Esau is already paying the price. He's moving to another land, not his own. That is the price of inheritance of the land. But he's not staying there because then he would inherit and he would have to pay the price of 400 years of being in a foreign land. He's already in a foreign land. And by the way, in the Brit Ben Absalom, it doesn't say that the children of Avram would be enslaved by Egyptians. It just said that they would be in a land, not their own. And the Rebbe explains that the point of that price of 400 years is that they would be wanderers, they would be strangers. They would be living in a land where when they lived in it, it would belong to foreigners and they would be there as strangers at the mercy of those who owned that land. That Esav didn't want. When he moves to Har Seir, he moves there as the one who owns the place, not as the geir. That Esav didn't want to pay the price of being a geir, a stranger in a foreign land. And from that, Rebbe derived the lesson for us. How we need to feel ourselves in this period of Golus until Mashiach comes and redeems us and gathers us all together and rebuilds the Beit HaMikdash. And that will be the full and final redemption. Until then, how do we need to feel in Golus? Like strangers. This is not our place. We mustn't let ourselves feel at home in Golus. It's not home. It's a strange place. It's not where we belong. And precisely by feeling that way, we earn ourselves the right to the Geula Shleima through Mashiach Tzidkenu, because we're awaiting his arrival daily so that Mashiach will come and take us out of here to the full and final redemption.